place to go.
Hi, 610, happy Monday.
And no place to happy.
Darling.
Go lucky.
And no place
Woo-hoo.
To go.
Feel free to jump in with your own fake enthusiasm. Busy weekend, busy life. Dr. Most Ryan Nobles, your Monday regulars coming up. John Williams will be in later this morning talking about his imaginary friend Teddy Roosevelt. Is it Teddy Roosevelt this time? Or
yeah.
Ooh. Teddy Roosevelt.
That got a big oof from
Well,
Dave.
I'm trying to figure, is it Tom or Teddy? I don't know. I think it's
Thomas Roosevelt. Jefferson or Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah. It's...
And gee, good news for you. You have to go to one of these shows.
What is this? I'm sure it's fascinating, right?
John, what did you like history when you were in school?
I did. I mean.
John Williams has a couple of pals. One's mm-hmm. Thomas Jefferson. The other's Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they come into town, and they do live Q&As.
Okay.
And interact with the audience.
You know, the thing about history, it just really depended on the teacher, right? It's uh-huh. always uh-huh. the delivery.
I love history. It's old, but right. I love history.
I mean, look at Hamilton.
It Without history, you don't have much, right?
Yeah. And you got to know your history so you don't make the same mistakes
yep.
in the future.
Yep. So John is in. I think there's a couple tickets left for that show, right?
I don't know
what that show is.
I thought I heard there were.
I think there's a few tickets yes. left. Hey, speaking of tickets, Friday night, stand-up comedy. Live at the Beverly Arts Center. Beverly Arts Center dot, I don't know.
Let me
is
let
it org?
Me, John DeCoss isn't here to tell you. That's
Worst
why.
Plug ever. BeverlyArtsCenter.org. A couple of tickets left for that as well. Dean Richards after 8 with a full rundown of what happened last night on the Emmys.
BeverlyArtsCenter.org.
.org. Uh-huh. Anybody on the show going to that show? Appreciate your support.
I will be out of town. I would go, but I'm out of town
Dave,
for football.
I can always count on you.
You know I will be out of
town. It's the rest of these deadbeats.
Standing up in a wedding. Another one.
See, I can always count on Joe.
Yep.
Okay. Is it your final wedding of the summer?
Yeah, we'll find out, you know, next week.
No, that's a good point.
I have a procedure. I have to have a procedure.
I have a commitment. I have another commitment.
What's your procedure, Steve? You want to talk about it?
That's something with my toe.
Well, you don't want to mess with that. That's scary. Let's do this. Top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
I'm number one, and really the top six is in any particular order that happens to occur to my ADD-addled brain. A man remains in custody at a hospital after driving a vehicle into Woodfield Mall Friday afternoon. It was a very scary situation, initially reported as a possible shooter. That was because glass was breaking everywhere, displays smashed, customers and store employees scrambling. A black SUV was driven through a window at the Sears store. Is the Sears store still open at Woodfield, or is that closed now?
That's a good question.
It looked like it was open.
Yeah, okay.
It did look like it was open, yeah.
22-year-old man was taken to a local behavioral medicine institute for treatment. Authorities did not disclose a motive for the incident. Was there a buy one, get one free sale? Was there something going on that you really felt you had to have access to the mall that quickly?
Yeah, not sure, but this could have been a lot worse.
Oh,
thankfully,
God, yes.
I don't know if you saw any of the video, but the mall was not as full as it normally is, and it was thankfully it was a lunchtime, midday sort of crowd that was there, and so it could have been a lot worse than it was.
Do I have the story right? A couple off-duty cops helped detain him?
I don't know if they were off-duty cops, but it was people that were there detained him until police arrived. So I don't know if they were off-duty cops or just regular citizens. But thankfully for them, they held the guy until the cops got there. Yeah.
Bizarre. Just yeah. completely bizarre. And you can imagine when you start hearing people screaming and glass breaking, we live in a world where your first assumption is the worst. That somebody's got a gun. You certainly wouldn't assume, oh, it's just a guy in an SUV driving through the mall.
Right.
Next. Dave just talked about this, but let's relive it. The Cardinals swept the Cubs in four straight games, each game by one run. I'm surprised they even played yesterday. Didn't it rain downtown?
It actually wasn't raining when the game started. It began to rain more heavily as the afternoon went.
Wherever I went all weekend, it rained.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? There was not as much rain up north I think, as you might have gotten. But
Saturday I was up north. I was in Gurnee.
That is north.
The edge of Gurnee, actually. Mm-hmm. Playing golf with former boss Jimmy DeCastro and former boss now Larry Wirt. And we got rained on heavily.
Ah, did we able to actually play ever?
9 holes.
Okay. And what'd you do the rest of the time then?
I came home.
Oh.
And then I took 2 hours off and I went and played my own course for 9 holes.
That was Saturday?
It was Saturday.
And what time? Because
from 10 in the morning till about 1.
Because
rain constantly.
We got no rain. We had a little rain before the game in Evanston, which kicked off at 11. But it really didn't rain till after the game.
Yeah.
I just pictured that, you know, then you would move the games indoors and maybe play a board game, a little Monopoly.
There was discussion of going to another venue that would be indoors with a roof. But we didn't do it.
No.
Like the United Center?
Casino.
Oh, I see. But we didn't
do
golf.
No, okay. We didn't do that. Okay. Matter of fact, a bunch of the younger guys, we had, I don't know, 16 guys or something, but a bunch of the younger guys, hardy young fellas,
mm-hmm.
as Dave and I once were, and they went out in the rain.
Oh, wow.
And the thunder and lightning.
I was just picturing you guys, you know, sitting around playing charades or like Cards Against Humanity or something.
Charades
afterwards.
Would have been fun.
The whole going out when there's thunder and lightning and playing golf is something that I really try to avoid.
I do not. Tom Skilling yelled at me once.
Because of lightning?
Right. If I see any lightning anywhere, if I see something shiny, I just don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah.
It's nothing to mess with. I saw a lightning strike no more than 100 yards from me, 50 yards from me, hit a water, not a water fountain, but a sprinkler head.
Wow.
Sprinkler head, sprinkler pipes, whatever. And it blew up like an oil well.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So that was enough to scare me straight. A couple other sports notes next. Antonio Brown says he's no longer going to play in the NFL. Well, Antonio, there are other criminals in the NFL that we can count on other than you.
And, you know, there's sort of this assumption there, and I know he's the best receiver in football. But
well, not anymore.
Right. Yeah, well, not now.
Currently, no.
Yeah. But he's assuming someone's going to ask him to play in the NFL.
Yeah.
And that's not happening right now.
In a world where Colin Kaepernick can't get a gig, why would you rehire this guy?
Right, not right now, no. Maybe never.
NFL insiders, and you know how they can be,
mm-hmm.
reported that 3 teams had interest in him, but not until they find out what goes on with this investigation. Sports Illustrated did a long piece last week, a backgrounder, if you will,
mm-hmm.
about Antonio Brown, talking about what a messed up dude he is. And basically what he does is he assaults women and he doesn't pay his bills.
And this all, he was part of that Helmetgate thing too, right?
Yeah, that was one where he, you know, in the early part sort of generated a little bit of sympathy. I think I said it on the show. I said, let him wear the helmet he wants to wear. But turns out the helmet he's been wearing for years apparently was a tad too tight because he ain't right.
You know, now you look back at that and you kind of wonder if that was some sort of smoke screen that he was trying to deflect. Knew this thing was coming,
yeah,
and he was trying to deflect attention from
it.
I don't know. I mean,
meanwhile, the Bears are in D.C. tonight, mm-hmm. and Eddie Pinheiro may be hurt.
He's got a minor knee injury. Eddie Pinheiro, the Bears kicker, has a minor.
Who's Eddie Pinheiro?
That's who you call Pinheiro.
Yeah, the NFC's
same guy?
Last mm-hmm. week's NFC Special Teams Player of the Week. And so, but they think he's going to play, and like Adam Hoge.
Which leg?
Out.
His plant leg or his kicking leg?
I believe it's his right leg.
That's his kicking leg.
Yes.
Well, if your kicking leg hurts, how do you kick?
I don't know why the plant leg made me crack up.
Because you don't
know. Sounds like a leg with plants in it.
Well,
like a house plant.
No, plant leg.
Yeah, I know. I get it. I just hadn't thought about it before.
It must be more fun for you to hear sports terms since you don't know or like sports.
The Bears didn't go out and get another kicker, so it would seem like they feel he's going to be able to go.
What about him? Quick one-day signing for
him. Could do it.
Yeah.
Kaz, you could fly him out there.
Sure. OB?
I don't think so.
Redskins are awful. The Bears barely won game two. They need a showing tonight. They need to put a beating on somebody.
I think there will be one tonight.
Hamp, OB, and Kaz, what time?
6 o'clock to preview it, and then 10:15 to
post-view it.
And WGN TV is carrying the game tonight also.
Do we talk about baseball yet? Oh, we started to, and then I got interrupted.
Yeah, Cubs.
I interrupted myself.
You did.
We talk about the rain.
Can you give me another quack? All right. Cardinals swept the Cubs in four straight. First time, one run, four games lost by one run in one series and one sweep for about 100 years. They're now four games behind Milwaukee for the second wild card spot with six games left to play. Small miracle needed at this point?
Oh, a major miracle needed. Actually, Milwaukee and Washington are in a virtual tie for that wild card. So Milwaukee could end up as the first wild card team the way things are going.
This is a sort of a historic collapse for a team with this kind of talent to lose six in a row this late in the season.
Yeah, and especially the way they did it, because they're at home where they played so well all year. Remember last weekend, they were
scored 100 runs in two games.
Yeah, I mean, they put up double digits in three straight games against Pittsburgh.
Hard to figure.
And then they, you know, they started against Cincinnati, and Cincinnati gave them fits all year. And then Chris Bryant got hurt yesterday.
Their bats have the flu.
Their bats were, you know, their bats were okay.
That's right. Their pitching has the flu.
Their pitching, their bullpen has.
Why
the
was
flu.
Yu Darvish closing yesterday?
He wasn't closing. He was pitching great.
Did he start?
He started.
Oh, okay.
And
I thought I heard he was relieving.
12 strikeouts. No. And Joe Maddon decided going to the ninth inning, nursing a lead.
Oh, boy.
He's going to stay with. Look, how many times has he gone to that bullpen? And it's
he stayed
down.
With him, and that's he when he got he was
him.
Tired. Okay,
he stayed with him, and they hit him.
So the Cubs, very very bad shape. It looks like I'm going to miss the prediction on the White Sox playing 500 ball this season by about 10 games. Super Joe, they're going to win 71.
Yeah, it shouldn't.
They got to win three on the homestand.
Yeah.
If they go 3-4 on this homestand,
it'll be close.
They get 71 games. That's still
71-91. That is exactly 10 games short of 500. Don't worry about doing the math there, pretty. I got it for you. Next, Emmys last night. Game of Thrones ended its 8-season run with a big win at the 71st Primetime Emmy Awards. That opening was weird.
It was weird. Yeah.
Homer Simpson followed by, I can't remember who, followed by, followed by Meth Boy.
And
Bryan Cranston.
The little commentary, when people would win, somebody would just be off in the distance and the announcer would try to make like a funny little quip.
It's hard.
Like it was, just
that's hard to do. It's hard to come up with just a line here and there, so that's hard. Wasn't that Thomas, whatever his name is, from The Kids in the Hall? I could be wrong about that. Anyway, later on in this show, a guy named Dean Richards will break it all down. And finally this... Donald J. Trump facing explosive allegations of encouraging foreign meddling to help him win a presidential campaign. On Sunday, Trump inexplicably continued to walk a tightrope as he said, I talked about Joe Biden in this call to the Ukrainian president, Zelensky. And Biden, Joe Biden should be investigated. It wasn't me, it was him. It's kind of the way these charges seem to go. Initial denial. These are facts now. Initial denial, because you can look it up historically. Initial denial, followed by, I did it, so what? Followed by, it wasn't me, it was somebody else. So the upshot of this is, because it's a kind of a hard story to follow, is Hunter Biden, the surviving Biden son, was on the board of a natural gas extraction company in the Ukraine that was supposedly under investigation by a prosecutor there. The prosecutor did not push the investigation far enough. Hunter Biden's father, Joe Biden, at one point as vice president, there to negotiate a potential extension of a loan package for the Ukraine of an additional $1 billion. This has all been investigated. Factual evidence here. Told the Ukrainian government, you're not getting the money. And they said, well, you have no authority not to give the money to the vice president. He said, call him. Call Obama, in other words. And within a few hours, this particular prosecutor was fired. It turns out he was slow-walking this firing of the president, fired the prosecutor, the president of Ukraine. Turns out he was slow-walking this investigation of that particular prosecutor who did need to go. Biden's son had been checked out, and Biden is found to have done nothing wrong. So where this goes, Nancy Pelosi says this could, I don't want to scare anybody, this could take the investigation of Donald Trump to a whole new level. Whoa. Don't push so hard, Nancy. Back it off just a little.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It is 6:30, and we still have to take one more quick break. Before I do that, though, I want to tell you that the MVPP is on in a little less than an hour. And if you know somebody, a person, a pet, a neighborhood, an organization, a pet, I guess, someone with a unique story that ought to be recognized, well, you need to tell us about it. They can end up being the most valuable person or entity
pet.
On the planet.
I'm going to nominate Sasha.
You should. Sasha, your cat?
Yeah.
Yeah. Every weekday at 7:20, the next Steve Cochran Show, most valuable person on the planet. You know, and because there's so much bad news in the world, there's a couple of cool good news stories I'm going to throw at you later. Just to make you feel better about life.
Thank God.
Not just you. I mean, everybody.
Oh, I thought it was just for me.
6:31, those news headlines from Mr. Grzanich right after this.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
Is Northwestern Medicine BP? Call Dr. Morse right now.
Dr. Kevin Most joins us. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Steve. How are you guys?
Doing fine. Good to see you on Friday at Marion Joy. An amazing staff out there and all the fine work they do.
Well, thank you very much for doing that. Really appreciate giving the opportunity to highlight the work that we do there.
I'm told there's a photo gallery up at WGNradio.com, which includes Dave's hernia check.
Ah.
No, that's actually today, as I told Doc.
Oh, I must have been confused. That happens sometimes. All right, Dr. Most, we have an internal problem before we get to our external topic of the day.
That does not surprise me. So.
The lovely and talented Jisoo Ki apparently was injured last night in her own home. What'd you do?
Okay, so, Doc, first of all, it's so great to talk to you. And now I can visualize you as well because we finally met in person.
Right.
I was going to fix a mug of sleepy time tea to help me relax and get to bed on time. I make the tea, then somehow I got distracted, and then I bring the mug up to my lips, realize how hot it is, get startled, the entire cup of tea goes down my front shirt.
Hot tea.
Ooh.
Hot tea.
Yeah.
Ooh.
How's your plant leg?
Plant leg is in trouble. The plant leg's in trouble.
So she did the right thing, Doc. She immediately went to Google.
Dr. Google.
And found that she should not do certain things and do certain things. But what should she do today?
I know. It's all very red. There aren't any blisters, but what I did do was I stood under the shower. They said cool water for 20
Correct.
Minutes.
Yep.
So that's it. But then, you know, I'm in pain. I am in some physical pain. You know, I'm working with an injury here, people.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so take some Tylenol.
On the show.
Take some Tylenol, Advil, or aspirin today. Advil or aspirin, probably a little bit better because it's a little bit anti-inflammatory as well as a pain. And now the big thing is the damage is done. Now it's just to watch to see if it blisters and if it starts to look like it's going to get infected. If it's just, you know, red, then it's going to be uncomfortable for a couple days, but the chance of infection is pretty low as long as the skin is intact.
So she's going to be okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mentally, what is wrong with me that I forgot from the moment that I poured this scalding hot water into a mug that it was hot?
We only have 15 minutes. So.
good answer.
Yeah. All right, Doc. So we're going to take a break early here so we can come back and devote the rest of our time to the topic, which is...
influenza. You know, there's a lot going on this year with influenza and a lot that people need to understand.
Achoo!
Boy. You know, and here's the thing. If people have to turn off the radio right now, they're going to want to know this. When is it appropriate to get a flu shot? Is it too early right now?
No. I mean, right now the CDC is really pushing for it, and after the break, we'll talk about why.
Got it. Right after this on 720 WGM. All right, Dr. Kevin Most joins us again, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Relentless in the pursuit of better health care. The flu, Doc, as you've taught us in the past, the flu virus is a crapshoot, but an educated crapshoot, to try to figure out what strains of the flu are likely to hit. And the virus is, the shot, what's it called? The vaccine. The vaccine is created based on their educated guess. We don't know how they're going to do this time of year, do we?
Yeah, this year's kind of unique. You know, normally, like you said, we look at what's going on in the Southern Hemisphere, what went on this year, and then we make a decision, the CDC and the World Health Organization make a decision usually around Valentine's Day, just after that. This year, they postponed that, trying to figure out exactly which type A vaccine or virus to put into the vaccine. They postponed it till the end of March, which kind of impacts a couple things. One is obviously the production And two is it certainly shows that they have a high concern this year of what is going to happen because the Southern Hemisphere just got hammered and continues to get hammered as we speak.
So what do we need to do? I mean, look, all the common sense still applies. You wash your hands. You don't touch others. You don't touch others until next March. You be careful, especially at work. And if you're sick, you stay home. What else?
Well, you know, those are the biggest things. But in all honesty, really, the vaccine is going to be the answer here. If you look at what happened last year, everybody remembers last year we had influenza A that hit kind of from October until February, and we thought, oh, the flu season is over, and no, another strain of A hit again from end of February and continued all the way through June. So really just shows the importance, because last year was a year that if you didn't get vaccinated, you could have got influenza twice. You know, each time you get it, your risk of bad things happening to you obviously goes up. So really the importance is doing all the common sense things as well as getting vaccinated.
So if the tracking is better than ever, what do we know now that we didn't know in the past that makes us better to handle this?
Yeah, and the tracking is very good. I mean, the doctor's offices track and they send in their information to the CDC. Hospitals track, they send their information in. The bad thing is that the tracking lags about a week or 2 weeks. In other words, CDC reports on Monday what's going on, what the activity is, where it's at, and then throughout the week everybody reports, and then the next Monday everybody does it. Well, if you wait to say, well, I'm going to wait until it's at a high volume here in Illinois before I get my shot, you have to realize that it takes anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks for that shot to actually work. So if you think I'm going to watch the tracking, I'm not getting it until I need it because I want to make sure it lasts long enough, that's the wrong thing. Getting a shot now will last you all the way through the season.
Does everyone listening need to get a shot, or who doesn't need to get the shot?
Yeah, really, the only people that don't need to get the shot are kids under the age of 6 months. And the reason is that we don't have a shot for them. But everyone else should be getting this vaccine. And for children, actually, they kind of... The bad part about it for children is those of you, those children who are under the age of 6 months to 8 months that have never been vaccinated before, they need two shots. They need a shot, and then they need the booster shot about a month or at least a month later. But everyone else should be getting the vaccine. Pregnant people, people with asthma, people with heart disease say, oh, you know, I'm immunocompromised. I shouldn't get it. No, it's just the opposite. You should get it to protect yourself.
What about bald guys?
Yeah,
definitely.
They should get three. Yep.
And, yeah, two in the head. Doc comes in here, G, and gives us shots live on the show.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So I don't have to go to my doctor this year. Doc Most is going to give me the shot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a deductible.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, Doc, the amazing thing is statistically, how many people die every year from the flu and why we don't talk about it more?
Yeah, you know, but years you can have 50,000 deaths from it. You know, we had 80,000 in 2017, so we've had, that was a bad year. Last year we dropped down to 50,000, but we still had 45 million cases of it. So, you know, people certainly can die from it, which is very, obviously very sad, and boy, that's a problem. But also just looking at the 45 million cases, saying all those people, good chance that they missed at least a week of work. They felt miserable, and they also were the conduit to spread it to other people. So you can get the vaccine, and not only does it protect you, it protects the people around you by something called herd immunity, where we can't spread the vaccine, we can't spread the virus if we're all kind of protected except for a few people.
So the idea to stay safe from this, and by the way, just again to wrap your head around it, 80,000 deaths around the world, that's about the size of Bloomington. The entire
city. No, 80,000 deaths in the United States.
Oh, that's just the United States.
Wow. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I did not know that. Well, think of this. Think of the entire population of Bloomington.
Yep.
By the way, if you're listening in Bloomington, just so you know, it's a point of reference. Is it as simple as washing your hands? How is it mostly spread? Is it coughing, sneezing, wrestling at work? What?
Yeah, it is. It's coughing, sneezing, and it's your hands. So people don't realize how much they put their hands to their face, but we do. The virus actually enters through either our mouth or our nose. And, you know, some of the viruses, the type Bs, will usually kind of stay up there, and you get congestion, and you get those high fevers, and you get the body aches. But the virus that they saw, we saw last year, as well as the one that they saw in the southern hemisphere this year, the H3N2, that's the nasty one that gets into your lungs. So when people sneeze and cough in front of you, and then you inhale that, and the virus gets into your lungs, then that is when we have problems.
So, Doc, when I'm flying, sometimes I see people wearing the nose and mouth masks.
Yep.
Do you think that really helps to wear that when you're flying to prevent catching something?
You know, for someone who flies quite a bit, I'll tell you, airplanes are very dirty. There's nothing that they're going to do. You know, when they're cleaning the plane between flights, they're taking newspapers out, but they're not washing things down.
What?
Yeah. And you're talking about viruses that can live on surfaces for quite a long time, couple hours. So wearing the mask is one thing because of the recirculated air and everyone that's coughing around you. Think about when you travel. It's the one time in your life that if someone's coughing and hacking next to you, you can't get up and move. So the chance of being exposed on an airplane is very high. That's why we really want a lot of people vaccinated before Thanksgiving, because of the high travel where we can spread this across the entire country quickly.
And don't travel if you can avoid it when you're sick. I mean, think of others.
That's probably the biggest thing. So the individual who's wearing the mask, you would hopefully that is someone who is sick and not someone who's healthy, although healthy people will wear them as well. And a lot of people actually use the hand gel and will clean up all around the airplane when they do that. Same thing when you're going into a grocery store. You'll see those towels now to clean your carts. Very important to do that because you don't know the individual who had it just before you.
Don't leave your house, people. There's a couple other points to make before we get to that, though. Karen's on the phone. What's your question for Dr. Most, Karen?
I am so happy you're talking about this. My daughter and son-in-law are trying to get pregnant over the next couple of months, and we were just talking about this yesterday. Would it be safer for her to get the shot now while she's getting pregnant, or get pregnant and then get the flu shot?
Good question.
No. Get the shot now. We don't know when she's going to get pregnant, so get the shot now. Okay. You want to make sure that she has that protection, because nothing worse than not getting the shot, getting influenza, and then getting pregnant. So you really would rather have it now. Anybody that is pregnant or thinking about getting pregnant, getting the shot early to protect you through the entire pregnancy is key to the baby's health as well as your own health.
Thank you, okay. Karen. That's a great question.
Thank you so much.
Have a great
You're
day.
Welcome.
All right, delivery vehicle. How do we get it now? Is the mist a real thing?
The mist is back. So if everybody remembers, 2 years ago, we had 2 years without the mist because there's some studies that showed that it was not effective. The company changed the way that they manufacture, and it's been approved now for the second year. Due to some constraints on manufacturing, it's going to be in low, there's not going to be as much of it. So please, anybody who needs that, go. But remember, under the age of 2, obviously you can't have it. Over the age of 49, you can't have it. That's so someone like Ross is going to be at a place here soon where he will not be able to get that, and he's going to have to get the shot. The shots are going to come again.
20 years.
Yeah. The shots are going to come again in two different types. One will have coverage for 3 viruses. One will have 4. I always recommend get the 4. In seniors, make sure you're getting the high dose 4 vaccine.
Side effects?
You know, you're going to get a little achy. You know, you're going to get your muscles going to be a little sore. Some people say, I got the flu from getting the shot. That can't happen. You might get a little achy. You might feel a little uncomfortable for a day or two. That's actually your immune system starting to work, and that's a good sign.
And the interesting story that in your notes, and remember, we post the notes with the podcast, and Dr. Most podcast goes up every week. And that is that flu cases in less populated areas are shorter in duration.
Yeah. Yeah, you think, well, gosh, am I better off in the city or am I better off, you know, out in a rural area? Well, you're better off out in the rural area because it doesn't spread as much. In the city, think about trains, congestion, buses, everywhere we're at. So we see once the virus hits, you see something called surge. You'll start to see big numbers of it. And at that time, it's too late. We're in the rural communities. Boy, they're not even ready for a surge. So they're still vaccinating, where here we should be saying, wow, if we get a surge, we need to make sure now that the pharmacies have enough Tamiflu, Relenza, any of the medications that may be used to treat the virus.
Great stuff, Doc. The notes go up with your podcast. Thanks for being on.
You got it. We'll talk to you guys soon, and we'll be down to do shots here in the next couple of weeks.
All right. Thank you for that. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in the pursuit of better health care.
The Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
little underdressed. Then again, I remembered I wear this to work every day.
Yeah, you look nice.
You talking to
nice.
Tom?
No, you always look nice.
Tom Gibbles here. Tom, the LaSalle Network, you're CEO of the LaSalle Network, and the governor passed a law recently, and this is specific, or signed a law recently, this is specific to people who are looking for work. Now, everybody's been in this position. You're a guy that runs the LaSalle Network. You've been in this position. Everybody's been in that position where you go, man, it'd be great to know what they're making.
Yep.
And most times, and I remember specifically, I was interviewed for a job at NBC many years ago, and eventually got offered a job in San Francisco. But prior to that, this giant hulk, and I'm a big human being, but this giant hulk of a guy came over and stood over me and went, what are you making? And don't think I can't find out. Because it's an advantage to the person doing the hiring if they know the number.
Or an advantage to the employee.
In what way?
Well, if somebody knows what you're making, they know they have to bid over you. Maybe they're going to come in at a lower point.
Okay. So do you like this law or not?
I don't like it.
All right, so talk to me about that end of it.
Well, what you have is an employee who is going to now be ruled out for jobs based on titles or size of company where they're currently working and not even get into the interview process. So if I'm hiring for a manager and somebody's got a director or a title on their resume, I may now not meet with them at all. Instead, I could call them up or have a recruiter call them up and say, how much are you making? And maybe they were 30 grand under where the salary was going to be, and the titles were just skewed.
Okay.
Now that person isn't under consideration.
I hadn't thought about it, but there's two levels to this then, because the rank and file employee, I think this is beneficial to them. Yes or no?
Say, come again?
The lower level employee, the non-management employee.
Right.
This would seem to be beneficial to them. This
maybe not. They still can't. If somebody's making, take somebody who's making $40,000 a year, mm-hmm. and they may or may not be considered for a position that pays $75,000. But remember this, there's also going to be higher expectations. So if you're doing a flat salary and it's not based on experience, the amount of rope or leash that somebody has now when they start a job is going to be much shorter because you're paying based on what a job is, not based on the expectations of what somebody can do in the job.
Well, I'm glad you're here. I appreciate the education on this because I come to it with a mindset that I think most people do, and that's that you guys are all out to get us.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
My unemployment's at 3.8%.
No, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, there's an assumption that the people who are hiring or run the place
correct.
Are trying to lowball you in some way. That's the general perception for a lot of people.
Yeah, what people forget is the people who run the place usually were the rank and file
right.
at one point in time. And, you know, empathy is a highly overlooked skill set. And to realize that people want to grow, what managers want or leaders or the C-suite want are employees who want to give of themselves to grow. It's not just a handout. Contrary to where things are socially. It will be one day, the way things are going. And I think what we've got to look at is, what does a job pay? What is someone's accomplishments? And what are the expectations for them to do that? To know what somebody else was paying them before helps an employer level set their expectations.
But aren't you going with the assumption that the person that employed them before was paying them the exact right amount? Maybe they were overpaid.
Absolutely not. The best thing that can happen to an employee sometimes is to have been underpaid someplace else. Then they leave and they get up to market value because somebody realizes they were underpaid.
I don't know. I feel like anytime you let somebody know what you made before,
well, see,
it's
you're coming from it from that
I
viewpoint.
I know, but you're
going to lose out. The employee is going to lose out on being considered. And what's going to end up happening is, and right now when unemployment's under 4%. Everyone's forgotten what 5.5%, 6.5%, 7% unemployment
sure.
looks like. Give it a cycle when unemployment's at 6% or 7% or 8%, and nobody's going to be talking about how great it is to have high minimum wage, how great it is to have salary transparency. Those things are not going to be talked about in a favorable light.
Why is it so important for you to know?
Well, as an employer, if you ask employees how much they're making at a current job, you can be fined. Point blank. So you can't ask how much they're making. You can ask how much they want to make, but you cannot ask how much they are currently making or have made in the past.
Well, take me through that. Does that sound like what are you hoping to get to salary-wise? How do you phrase the question?
You phrase the question as, our position will pay $80,000 a year.
Okay.
And that silence is exactly what's going to happen on the telephone.
Tell me, is it telephone, by the way?
A lot of it's on the telephone because you're going to be screening people before you get to that, so you're not wasting anybody's time. But now what's going to happen is you're going to get a lot of job seekers and candidates that are going to say, okay, I'm interested in that salary range. Then they're going to go through the process, and the dynamic's going to reverse itself. And the candidate is going to say, well, I'm not interested in 80. I really need 100.
But do you get that sort of aggressiveness?
Oh, most definitely.
Really?
Under 4% unemployment, you get aggressiveness you'd never comprehend.
Because of the competitiveness of the hire.
Exactly right. And the need of the employer.
So, again, I'm trying to wrap my head around all of this because the generalizations that this is, that we live in society are one of the reasons we asked you to come in.
So you're going to have companies that are going to have salary ranges. And when you have a salary range, the employer, and this is not good or bad, just factual, employers are usually thinking the bottom end of the salary range, and job seekers are thinking the top end of the salary range.
Human nature.
And you try to get into a negotiation. But now you have a, now what can happen is, and this is what will really be bad for marginal employees, the rank and file, is great employees will voluntarily state how much they were making.
Right.
I was making $80,000 a year. I hit my quota 5 out of 6 years in a row, blah, 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 blah. And someone's going to go, wow, you're worth 100.
Right, because it's a confidence and a competitive strength for them to bring it up as a sales part of their act.
So if you're an employer and you're interviewing two candidates and one is transparent and admits what they're making and the other one doesn't, which one are you going to hire?
Right, right. So when people come in, even under this new law, if they volunteer that information, that's fine.
New, brand new ballgame.
Yeah, it's fine for them to do it.
Absolutely.
So your advice, especially if you're looking for a managerial position, is to be confident, be upfront, and talk about what you're making.
I believe that as an employee, as somebody who's searching for a new job, if you are confident in your skills and you state what you were making, that's beneficial for you in the process.
Now, the people that work for you, don't they have, through everything that's available online now, the ability to get a sense of what the person might be making?
The problem is it's all self-reported. So some people are going to include, OTE stands for
on-target earnings. Because I make $12,000 a year.
Right. Especially when Uncle Sam comes knocking.
Right.
So you're going to put down what that is. Other employees are going to include overtime if they're not overtime exempt. Other employees are going to put in potential of what they made could make. Other employees are going to put what they made 2 years ago in their highest year of earnings. So the numbers that are online can be skewed.
So if I own the company, I can pay what I can pay.
That's exactly right.
But if I find out you're exceptional, maybe I can bend it a little bit.
You're going to pay more. That's
right, because of the competitive nature of what you're talking about.
I think it'll really be a positive thing for employees who currently work at a company. What an employer should do is be paying more to their existing staff because they actually know what those people make and what their value is. And for employees who've been underpaid at their current place, it should result in them making more money.
All right. If you're a young person that's got a lot of upside and you're fairly naive about this whole process, maybe you come across the guy I mentioned at the top of this, you know, the big hulking jerk.
Mm-hmm.
What advice do you give to those people other than don't take the job and keep looking?
Hide under the desk and cry.
Is that a book you're writing? Hide under the desk and
cry? My autobiography.
That seems counterproductive. So,
We've got a situation right now with WeWork going on with the CEO who's taking hundreds of million dollars off and they're not profitable.
Right.
Uber's not profitable. If I'm a young person getting in, I want to work for a company that's profitable because that company's going to sustain through any downturn in the economy most likely. And I'm going to go to work for somebody. There is a nice factor. Work for somebody you actually like or you think you like, and then go in where you can learn and do that. And let the law be the law. All you can do is control one thing, your work ethic and the results from that.
How'd you guys
you should get paid.
How'd you guys lose, you guys, generally speaking, again, lose this fight with Pritzker?
Well, I think that's the wave that happened from Rauner to JB. And JB's a great business guy. I happen to know him, and I think he's a really bright guy who's done a lot of good things, and I'm hopeful it'll work out for the state. But, you know, this is a populist movement.
See, this is pure politics, not something that was meant to do.
I think this is to appease a voting.
Well, I appreciate your perspective, and I've learned something, and I rarely do on this show.
Good to be with you.
Good to see you. And also, thanks for bringing Kevin in, because he's got a full head of hair, and that always angers guys like you and me.
Well, Andy's younger, which is always a good thing to have around you.
All the best, too, at LaSalle Network. You want to throw out a website or anything?
LaSalleNetwork.com if you're looking to hire people.
There you go. Appreciate your time.
Thanks.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Well, it is an honor to have Bob Shea in studio, Executive Director of Devices for the Disabled. That's D4D. That's the number 4, D4D. Chicago-based nonprofit providing durable, refurbished medical equipment, wheelchairs, hospital beds, lifts, and the like, to overcome barriers for people and give them all the independence they deserve. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Why'd you get into this business?
Well, I, a few years ago, was diagnosed with a neurological disease called Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Sure.
Landed up being totally paralyzed. Spent 7 months in 4 hospitals.
Is that right?
8 months of therapy trying to regain function, another 2 years after that.
Healthy guy before that.
Ran 4 miles the day before I went in the hospital.
Wow.
So, yes. And it taught me, being paralyzed, how important medical equipment is. It
sure.
literally gives you your life back.
And you had no experience in this prior to that, family members
none.
Or anything?
None. I absolutely none.
So all of this has been learning as you go, as you recover as well. You look healthy now, my friend.
I have my souvenirs. I can't button buttons or tie shoes.
Who can?
Yeah, well, that's there you go. So.
But you look like you're feeling good. I hope that's true.
I feel wonderful, yes. Yeah.
You had great health insurance from what we've been told, but then it didn't cover all of the equipment that you needed.
Well, actually, I started this with a friend of mine, Ed Kane, and he used to come visit me. He and his wife set up a group that dropped dinner off for my wife while I was in the hospital.
Wow, that's very nice. Months.
And he then was diagnosed with ALS. And so it was now my turn to come visit Ed, and as he declined, he was prescribed a complex wheelchair. He had good insurance, allocated up to $2,500 for a wheelchair, and that complex wheelchair costs $30,000.
Wow.
Who is a typical person in need that you service?
That's a wonderful question, and it's been like peeling an onion.
Oh, really?
Initially, we thought, well, in Ed's case, he was able to take the money out of his 401k, but the question was not just a poor person. How does a middle-class person come up with $27,000 for a wheelchair?
Yeah, and your 401k is supposed to be for the good years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in his case, it was for his wife.
Okay.
After he was gone. And so it's not, how does a middle-class person come up? But we then looked around in Chicago. There's over 600,000 disabled people living in Chicago. Where do they go for equipment if they don't have insurance?
Anybody else in the field doing anything close to this?
We looked around, seeing who else is out there, and we could find one little church on the north side of
Chicago. Is that right?
Catholic Charities doesn't
sure.
take equipment. Salvation Army doesn't take equipment. We could find no one else out there other than this little church that had a few canes and walkers in their basement.
Who does the refurbishing?
We do. We have a warehouse at 36th Place in California.
Are you handy, or do you have other folks helping you?
Oh, no. No. Yeah. So I mentioned I have my souvenirs.
Sure.
So, yes, we have other people who do that.
All right. If people need your service, and we're not aware of it until hearing us talk about it here, what do they do?
What they do is they can call us at 773-870-1553, or they can go to our website, which is the support, the letter D, the number 4, the letter D.org.
Support D, the number 4, D.org.
Yes.
Where do you take this, you know, in the years ahead? Because it seems like it's become your life's work.
It is. You know, it has taken a very dark period in my life, mm-hmm. and in my friend Ed's case, he passed away 3 years ago. It's taken a dark period in my life, and it now gives it meaning and purpose. So it is wonderful.
You should be very proud of this.
Well, you know what?
I mean, I hope you are, and your friend Ed as well. It's kind of, if you're spiritual at all, you know, it's amazing to think what you both have gone through, and well, maybe there was some life path that you didn't know you were going to be headed down, and that's how you ended up there.
Absolutely.
Right?
There's an author I like said, I truly believe in coincidences. I just haven't seen one yet.
Right. Right. It's all meant to be.
And so, yes. And so it is now, we went from just giving away donated equipment that we refurbished to we've just opened up a seating and positioning center. There's only one in Chicago, the Shirley Ryan Ability Lab. And
right.
that's if you are permanently in a wheelchair, the cushioning and the back needs to be tailored to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like buying a suit,
right,
and you have to have it tailored.
I never even thought of that. Of course, that makes sense.
And so there's only one in Chicago, and they do take some charity cases, but a doctor at Mount Sinai Hospital had been waiting 18 months to get a patient in at Shirley Ryan. Well, we just, a month ago, opened up a seating positioning center, and the difference is our seating positioning center is only for people in need. If you can pay for it, we'll give you Shirley Ryan's number.
Good for you. And what is it that's your primary need at this point? I mean, volunteers, money, corporate help, all of the above?
All of the above. I mean, right, it's actually, if people would like to help, of course, any donations of equipment, that's how we survive.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, we are just in the process of developing a program where people can become our partners on an ongoing basis, that to allow people to get this equipment that desperately needed.
That's a great idea.
I just was saying to someone as I was waiting to come on, I said, here in Chicago, people don't realize, not in some other country, just a few miles away from where they live, there are people who are so desperate.
Yeah, and your type of service being available in a city like this is vital. But when you think about a city the size of Chicago, and you're the go-to outside of Shirley Ryan, it's incredible. I mean, thank God you thought of it.
Well, a quick story.
Yeah,
just
of course.
This past summer, a young woman came in. She had her 5-year-old son. She had a little girl at home as well, and I could see she was very tense. So her warehouse manager was getting some equipment, and I walked over to her to talk to her. And I said, so who are you here for today? And with that, her head dropped, and tears started coming down her face.
Sure.
And her husband had been walking by their home and had been shot in the face.
Oh.
And they didn't have insurance, and they had no family in Chicago. And she said she was literally surviving on food being given to them by people, neighbors. And her husband, because he didn't have insurance, was being discharged. At a certain point, you just get discharged. She was so afraid. She had no idea what the future was going to be.
That's been devastating.
Our warehouse manager had to sit down at his desk and collect himself.
Sure.
After she left. Now, that was our third gunshot victim that day.
Mm.
And so there are so many people who are so desperate. And, you know, the epilogue to the story, as they were loading the equipment up into a pickup truck a neighbor had, she turned and smiled and thanked me. First time I saw her smile. I couldn't change what happened to her husband.
Sure.
But we were able to give the equipment to her that her husband could come home and be taken care of. And their life could go on.
It's just such a massive relief for her at that point. And also the indignity of having something happen to you that's of no fault of your own. And then having to count on everyone for help. And I'm sure when she walked in, she figured, you're going to tell me I have to pay for this and I don't have the money to pay for this. And it had to be devastating. And then there you were, stepping up. As I said, man, you should be proud.
Thank goodness you were there.
You are a blessing, sir.
Thank you.
Now, I want you to take care of yourself, too.
Thank you.
Because the next time you come in, you and I are going to have a foot race to the end of the hall.
I think you're going to
And I like your chances.
Oh, I was just going to say, could I get my money down on you? But
You haven't seen me run lately. But it's great to meet you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for doing what you do.
All right. Thank you.
Support the letter D, the number 4, the letter D. Support D4D.org. That's a great story. And your headlines are next.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
You know, blessed to do this job, but I tell you, that's one of the reasons right there, because you meet just incredible people, you know, doing things that you don't know about. And that's why that MVPP is a nice thing. That's a Todd Manley production, that MVPP.
Oh, absolutely.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
7:47. Here's what we're going to do. Get back on time here. We're going to come back with Ryan Nobles from CNN in just a second.
Okay.
So thank Ryan for hanging with us. I want to say goodbye to a couple of people.
Oh, all right.
Larry Wirt was my boss for a bit back in the 90s at The Loop. We became friends and remained friends. I just saw him Saturday, as a matter of fact. He's moving on to conquer new worlds. And Larry and, well, Jimmy DeCastro as well, those two guys, whatever they touch turns to money.
Gold. They've got the golden touch.
Smart, funny guys. Mm-hmm. So I wish Larry all the best. And same goes for Todd Manley, the little brother I never asked for. This place would not have had the success it's had since the relaunch, if you will, in 2013. And Todd's moving on to new adventures as well. And we love him and wish him nothing but the best.
One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
And a very talented guy and annoyingly good looking for his age. Yeah. Full head of hair, great shape. Just the kind of guy I don't like.
And Larry is very ageless as well. He seems to stay...
It's a good point. Maybe that's why I don't like either one of them. No, I wish them both the best. I love them. And they're great guys. And for those of you who think I've never said a nice thing about management, ha! Look it.
Yeah.
I just did.
You get the last laugh, Steve Cochran.
So, 7:49. We'll come back with Ryan Nobles in just a second at 7:20 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Good morning to Ryan Nobles from CNN. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Steve. Bills are 3-0, so it's Victory Monday here in our house. We're very happy.
Ryan is from Buffalo. You got to break up the Bills, greatest team in NFL, in the NFL right now. Hey, I got a problem. I don't know if you can help me out. I hired Rudy Giuliani as my attorney to get me out of a parking ticket, and he got me charged with murder. So that's no good.
Yeah, that tends to be the direction his legal representation is sending people these days. That was probably not the wisest choice on in your vein. But you know, to further extend what you're talking about, the situation with Ukraine, you know, I think for a long time Democrats on Capitol Hill were dithering back and forth about impeachment. You know, it was kind of a slow creep in that direction. But the situation with Ukraine in many ways has sent it into hyperspeed. And I think you're going to see a lot of these House Democrats that were reluctant before now starting to move over into the camp that this needs to be something that they take a little bit more seriously. Chief among them, Adam Schiff, who's the chair of the House Intelligence Committee, who was among those reluctant to go down this road and is now starting to sing a different tune. And, you know, maybe the president got out from underneath Russia, but Ukraine now seems to be a bigger problem for him.
The Democrats have been hiding behind this notion that, hey, we're just doing what's right for America. The Democrats and the Republicans suffer from the same disease, and that's the, oh, my God, I have to get reelected disease no matter how much I sublimate my own integrity. And the Democrats saying they're going to do this. I mean, put up or shut up. You know, I mean, stop talking about it or do something. And there is more of a sense this morning in D.C. that it's headed in that direction.
Yeah, and I think still the biggest impediment to the Democrats moving forward is that even if they could muster together the votes for impeachment in the House, that it you know, ends in a roadblock in the United States Senate. So it's not as if. Yeah, there's any way that you're going to see President Trump removed from office unless there is some other massive smoking gun that comes out that even forces Republicans to change their minds, which seems unlikely. But
I mean, we've talked about this forever. There is a responsibility by Congress for oversight. And even if it's a fruitless exercise, there is a reason that the party not in power in a circumstance like this, like one we've never seen, needs to take the action that's in front of them or not. But just to talk about it and keep saying, well, this could be serious. President Trump's in the timeout corner. I mean, stop it already.
Well, and I think the other problem becomes is that when you leave an opportunity for the void to be filled. So, if you throw out accusations, if you throw out rumors, you throw out innuendo. President Trump takes that and turns it into a narrative that may have absolutely nothing to do with the truth. And that's what you see happening with this Ukraine thing. You know, he basically asked a foreign leader to investigate a political rival, and President Trump is flipping that around to say, well, that's because my political rival is involved in a major scandal. Now, there doesn't appear to be a ton of evidence to support that notion, but if you know, there isn't some other independent entity that's looking into this and, you know, kind of revealing all of the facts that are connected to it, he's going to take that and turn it into something that it may not be. So I think that's part of where, why you're seeing the Democrats feel compelled to look into this more and to kind of speed this process up, because if they don't, President Trump could pick up that ball and run a mile away. And once he fills the void with all this misdirection and, you know, these questions that his supporters are going to take as truth, then, you know, you lose the opportunity to control it. So I think that's perhaps part of the reason that you see them taking this a little bit more seriously. But it's already having an impact on the presidential race. And, you know, chiefly, you know, Joe Biden is the one that's right in the center of all of it, because President Trump's trying to connect it to all of it.
Give me 30 seconds, if you would, on Iran. The fact that we have sent troops, or we are about to send troops in that direction, in support of Saudi Arabia and the attack that Iran allegedly made on the Saudi oil fields. The world seems to agree that Iran's involved in this. What's the sense of commitment in Washington? Is to, are these defensive troops, or is this going to be a bigger deal?
Well, I think this week is going to be crucial, because the president is in New York this week for the U.S. General Assembly. The leader of Iran is going to be there. Their foreign minister has said, he told multiple media outlets, including ours, he told our Cristiano Ampour, that that Iran's leader would be willing to meet with President Trump to talk about this. You know, this is one of those examples, I think, where you see President Trump attempting to pull a rabbit out of a hat and use his grand negotiating skills to stave off some sort of serious issue here. I do think these troops have been put in as a kind of a signal to Iran to show that they are serious. There isn't necessarily a ton of will within the Congress to support this effort. But then again, the president doesn't really need congressional oversight on these issues, because the Congress has ceded so much of that responsibility to the White House and over the years. But I think this week is going to be very important, because if there's any hope at some sort of negotiation, if there's any hope that some sort of, I don't know if a deal is the right word, but some sort of a resolution can be brought to bear, it happens this week, and President Trump is the person that can make it happen to try and balance the concerns of both Saudi Arabia, Iran, and then Israel and the rest of that region. So this week is going to be very crucial. What ultimately ends up happening, I think, you know, could really depend on the next couple of days.
Ryan Noble's working harder than Wolf Blitzer and all the other people at CNN. Thank you, buddy.
All right, have a great week. Thanks, bye.
There you go, Buffalo Bills' number one fan. And we're back with the news in a moment. And Dean will break down the Emmys. I'm more on entertainment right after that.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
it's Moron Entertainment, and it's Dean Richards. Good morning, Dean.
Steve, how are you?
You know, I'm all right. I was listening to your show yesterday.
Sorry.
Go ahead and pick this up while I choke to death over here.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was watching your, listening
Steve
to your was, show yesterday, and he thought it
Steve?
Was amazing.
He's eating...
Nothing, I'm fine.
Peanut brittle.
It's the queen.
Oh, that actually, it's bringing me back.
Steve loves his saltines in the morning.
He likes to eat the driest possible.
I like to have a big spoonful of peanut butter right before I crack the mic. All right, so here's what I was going to say.
Yes, sir.
Watching your show, was listening to your show. I wasn't watching it. And your producer's name is Ryan?
Young Ryan, yes.
Yes, and Young Ryan told a story about being hit on by Tanya Tucker.
At Farm Aid.
At Farm Aid. And, well, I don't disagree with the premise that she was friendly. I was looking for more on the story. I was looking for him to amp it up to a point where, you know, she chased him to a Motel 6 and he hid.
Right. Well, you know, he's only been with me like a month.
So you got to work with him.
Young broadcaster. So I have to teach him the art of embellishment.
Exactly.
That if,
because if you had told that story, the police and guard dogs would have been involved.
Right.
There would have been
helicopters.
Clowns and helicopters.
Yeah, I'd be in rehab.
All right, so I'm watching.
Again.
We'll get to the Emmys and all the other news, but I'm watching the Emmys last night,
oh,
and
boy.
I don't know anybody anymore.
Was that, but well, first of all, wasn't it a horrible show?
It was mostly terrible. The Bob Newhart moment I really liked.
Because I love Bob Newhart. I loved Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel. I'll play some audio from both of those things.
Okay, good.
Because those were two of the, for me, the highlights. But it was a poorly paced show. It was a poorly written show. It was, they didn't have a host, which normally I'm good with, but here is a show that really, really needed something.
Yeah, but where, Dean? Where could they possibly find a high-profile television personality to host the Emmys?
Well, they practically don't even exist anymore.
I mean, you know, it's not like you could find people with large egos and talent in television.
Right. Just in the front row of that auditorium last night, you could have picked out like five people who could have done something like that.
Let's be honest, they could have called Pat Tomasulo. He would have taken a flight yesterday morning.
Hey, he's got plenty of free time on his hands now, so
his weekends are free.
And this, I really like Thomas Lennon as a comedian, as an actor.
Yep.
One of my favorite, and personally, there is no nicer guy than Thomas Lennon. Really super guy.
And got famous on what show?
Reno 911.
Reno 911, that was it.
But they had him as an offstage announcer for the show last night. And when people were walking up to the stage, instead of letting you concentrate on that moment and seeing who they're shaking hands with and kissing and, you know, exploring that, they had him doing jokes and, you know, fake facts and things like that. I didn't think it was funny at all. I found it very, very distracting.
I agree.
I think that was a huge bomb. I think it was one of the worst award shows that we've seen in decades. They're unbelievably terrible.
Yeah, I thought it was bad as well, and I didn't hang with it as long. It actually drove me to the Cleveland Browns game. That's how bad it was.
Well, you made a good choice.
I even flipped over to the Cleveland Browns game.
What?
Mm-hmm. And G doesn't even like football.
I know that.
All right, so Dean, we'll come back with all that Emmys breakdown, and Dean will actually give you the moments worthy of consideration.
I've watched, so you don't have to.
And I will say this, and I texted our mutual friend Bob Vorwald this morning. I thought the Channel 9 goodbye to the Cubs on Saturday was touching and sweet and really nicely done.
The seventh inning stretch?
Yeah.
Featuring virtually the entire staff here at WGN. Final home game ever on WGN that seems impossible to me, but the times they are changing.
And did Dave Bennett ruin the video?
Well, privately, people are saying that they tried.
Oh, come on!
They tried to, edit him out, but he strategically placed himself someplace where if we cut him out, we would have also cut off Micah Mataris' head.
Oh, you can't do that.
Actually, I was standing behind Tom Skillet.
Yes, he's smart. Smart placement. Very smart.
Guaranteed to get in the shot.
Where they told me to stand, yeah. That's all.
Smart placement.
And everybody was singing the seventh inning stretch. Dave was singing Your Body's a Wonderland.
No. All right, I'm in love with the shape of you.
Oh, that was it. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's it.
Moment ever.
Yeah, this is it. 818. We'll come back with more on entertainment. More on in just a second. And Dean, if you could dispel a rumor just ahead of the break, Clint Eastwood is alive and well.
As far as I know.
Yeah.
Are there rumors going around?
Apparently there's a rumor on the internet that Clint cacked. He's fine.
He's cacked. I can see where we're lining up for one of our extremely respectful obituaries.
Do you know what Tom Dreesen said about Eastwood? I love this. Dreesen said, he's talking to Eastwood, and everybody asks Eastwood, you're almost 90 years old, why are you still directing? And Clint said, because I don't let the old man in.
Yeah, that's
true. He said he gets up in the morning, got aches and pains like everybody else, but he tells the old man, you ain't welcome here. You're not coming in.
He is extremely... I was in Los Angeles once, standing, waiting to get my... like at a valet parking thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm waiting to get my car, like standing on the curb, and this like jazzy Mercedes zooms up to the curb, and I'm thinking, what the hell kind of an idiot pulls up to like that many? There's like all kinds of people standing at the curb. Could have easily hit somebody. It's like, I'm gonna say something when that jerk gets out of the car. I'm gonna say something. Clint Eastwood.
I'm guessing you back down.
It's like, hello, Mr. Eastwood, nice to see you.
I told you this story. I think I told you this. Friend of mine, sort of a big deal in Hollywood, when they opened the new Harry Potter exhibit at what, Universal, I guess?
Yeah.
He's in the Universal store. He's got a bunch of kids. He's going to buy them a bunch of Harry Potter souvenirs. Well, they also have like a smoothie stand there, and everybody on the lot loves the smoothies. So he's trying to check out, and the lovely UCLA co-ed can't figure out how to operate the machine to check him out. You know, can't scan the goods. So he's starting to feel a trickle of sweat down his back as he realizes there's people lining up behind him who just want smoothies. And at one point, he turns around, and Clint Eastwood is standing behind him holding a smoothie, just trying to get through the line.
Hilarious.
And he looks at him, and he goes, "So you like the Harry Potter, huh?"
Is that real?
True story.
Eastwood's cool.
Yeah, true story. It's like Dean's car moment.
He's great.
8:20, Dean breaks down what was watchable at the Emmys, if there was anything. We'll find out together in just a moment.
Mm-hmm. I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too.
Wait.
I'm in love with your body.
Dave Bennett.
Last night you were
when did Dave sing this?
He sung this originally.
At the Grammys.
Yeah. This was stolen by the artist who got a big hit with it. He actually,
wow.
I thought I nailed it.
Ed Sheeran got it from you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ed Sheeran doesn't do the O-Y-O-Y-A the way Dave does. Yeah.
This is amazing.
Well, you find out stuff on this show.
I was impressed.
Remember when Dave sang that at the Grammys?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. That was a better year. All right. Big winners last night.
Big winners were this the show Fleabag. Which, actually, I have never seen. Have you ever seen
it? I have not, but I'm told I have to watch it.
The Fleabag won Best Comedy, Best Actress, Best Directing in a Comedy, Best Writing in a Comedy. It wound up winning 6 total awards. Game of Thrones was nominated for 32 Emmy Awards. Last night, it only won 2 of them for Best Drama, which is a big deal, and Best Supporting Actor for Peter Dinklage. It's the 4th time that he's won Best Supporting.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's an amazing actor, but he's a real character.
Well, he's funny, right?
In real life as well. Yes, he is.
And the giant woman dressed like Jesus Christ, who is she?
That's an actress who is on Game of Thrones. Well, that's an interesting take on how you think, because I thought that she looked more like a lamp at my grandmother's house.
She had this flowing robe on, and she really is tall. She's like 6'4".
Yeah, she
plus heels.
Gwendolyn Christie is her name.
Okay.
And she was a knight in Game of Thrones. So
she was Jesus Christ last night.
No, she was like a, you know, anointed knight.
She was a rough knight last night. rough knight. Regina King was beautiful last night. I thought she was amazing.
Any fashion faux pas?
Well, this Gwendolyn Christie is my... I can't believe somebody would leave the house dressed that way.
It was interesting.
Yeah, these are people...
As a choice?
My words, I don't call them worse dressed. I call them people in need of a full-length mirror at their house.
It was interesting.
You really got to take a look at it. But Zendaya was beautiful last night. Mandy Moore. Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I have never seen her look bad. Or make a fashion mistake. She looked absolutely...
What's the Brad Pitt movie where he aged in reverse? Because that's
Benjamin Button.
Yeah, she is Benjamin Button.
Yeah.
She gets better looking every day.
She looks fantastic. That's another big story from last night. She was snubbed last night. Everyone thought, because it was Veep's final year, that she was going to win some awards. The show was nominated for like 11 awards. Went home with nothing. It was completely snubbed last night. So that was... one of the big stories from
Jason Bateman, a big winner.
Jason Bateman won for Best Directing in a Drama for Ozark, which was a little bit of a surprise to everybody.
Last Week Tonight won with John Oliver.
Yep, best variety talk series. Saturday Night Live won last night. If you look at the replay, if anyone was able to stay awake during the show, this horrible show last night. While Lorne Michaels was walking up to the stage, you know, they take reaction shots of people in the crowd. Sarah Silverman appeared to be asleep in her chair. She was leaning over. I don't know if it was a joke or it looked like she was sleeping and then suddenly woke up.
Interesting wardrobe choice by her, too, by the way.
Yeah.
She looked like the proper school teacher.
Bill Hader won Best Actor for Barry. Very deserved of the so. Phoebe Waller Bridge.
She was my favorite friend.
One for Fleabag. Tony Shalhoub and Alex Borenstein both won supporting for Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Billy Porter won for his show Pose last night.
Who got snubbed?
Well, it was the big snub last night was Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Veep.
All right. Michelle Williams made a nice speech.
She made a beautiful speech. Let's listen to a little of her.
I want to say thank you so much to FX and to Fox 21 Studios for supporting me completely and for paying me equally, because they understood... Because they understood that when you put value into a person, it empowers that person to get in touch with their own inherent value. And then where do they put that value? They put it into their work. And so the next time a woman, and especially a woman of color, because she stands to make 52 cents on the dollar compared to her white male counterpart, tells you what she needs in order to do her job, listen to her, believe her, because one day she might stand in front of you and say thank you for allowing her to succeed because of her workplace environment and not in spite of it.
Very, very, very empowering speech.
Thank you.
Billy Porter, I thought, gave one of the best speeches of the night last night. He won Best Actor in a Drama for Pose. And also talked about empowerment of himself.
The category is love, y'all, love. I am so overwhelmed that I am so overjoyed to have lived long enough to see this day. James Baldwin said, took many years of vomiting up all the filth that I had been taught about myself and halfway believed before I could walk around this earth like I had the right to be here. Have the right, you have the right, we all have the right.
So he becomes the first openly gay African-American actor to win Best Drama.
Good for him.
He also now is just one step away from the coveted EGOT, Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony. All he needs is an Academy Award.
Why are you still looking at me funny? Is because I dressed like RuPaul this morning?
No.
I wear the same suit that
are
RuPaul
you talking to
wore.
Me?
No, to Dean. Oh. Dean's watching me on the monitor.
Oh, he is? Oh.
I've got the big and tall version of RuPaul's suit last night.
I actually told you to watch Pose. That's the show that he's on that mm-hmm. I love.
Billy Porter show?
Yes, yeah. It's so awesome.
This RuPaul's riding up on me.
I would be shocked if Steve wasn't dressed like RuPaul. If he came in like a golf shirt and some Dockers one
some
morning.
Shorts.
Yeah.
Bob Newhart, is he 90 or about to turn 90?
He just turned 90 years old.
And still funny as you could possibly be.
A couple of weeks ago, Ben Stiller is doing a setup, walking by what looked like a wax figure of George Burns, what looked like a wax figure of Lucille Ball, talking about the legends in television. Then he walks over, and there is clearly not a wax figure, Bob Newhart, standing there while Ben Stiller is talking about, you know, what would legends like Bob Newhart think of television today? And this is a little of what happened.
Ben, I'm still alive.
Yeah, no, I knew that.
I don't think so. You put me with George and Lucy in this weird Wax Museum of Comedy.
Yeah, no. It's more like legends. Like legends of, you know, comedy that alive, dead, all different types of legends.
This legend is going to kick your ass.
Bob Newhart.
How great is he?
He is just the greatest.
He's fantastic. All right, and Colbert and Kimmel.
Yeah.
And it's not Colbert, it's Colbert.
I was wondering.
Don't ask Stephen Colbert that, mm-hmm. how to say his mm-hmm. name. But, mm-hmm. you know, this was a show without a host. Both Colbert and Kimmel are former award show hosts.
Sure.
They've hosted the big shows. They were not happy with the arrangement last night.
Well, well, well. How's the old no host thing going? What a dumb idea. What a joke. So stupid. You know what has a host? Applebee's has a host. Yeah. They have food, too.
We would have brought food.
Yeah.
And now you guys are going to starve to death.
You know who the real victims are here? It's us. Hosting is the only thing we know how to do.
I'm sorry, but this show sucks.
You would have been a great host.
You would have been even better, Stephen.
I know. It's just sad.
Hosts aren't optional. Without a host, who would read the words, "You know my next guest from the hit series NCIS New Orleans"?
That's right. No one would. Without a host, who would sit behind a desk and pretend to be interested in Jason Bateman's vacation stories?
And then they take a shot of Jason Bateman just, you know, staring at the camera. Like, well, what? Bateman's expression. Completely.
Those are the highlights, and that's all of them.
That's all I got for you.
And that's all of the highlights, every bit of it.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Thanks. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
That's Dean Richards live from Channel 9, and we come back with your headlines right now. Tom Skilling, our friend and the greatest weatherman in the world, not just America, intergalactically the greatest weatherman, from your galaxy to mine.
Hello, Steve. How are you? Thanks for that lovely introduction.
All right, so, Tom, here's the deal. We drive up Lakeshore Drive. In particular, we can see the change in the lake height. What's going on?
I'll tell you what is really scary, Steve, is the thought that we're heading into storm season in the autumn and winter, where you get these sustained north to northeast winds down the lake. You superimpose that kind of wind on this sort of lake level, and we'll see some of the things we saw happen back in the mid-80s, where you had water at times splashing up on the Lakeshore Drive, and you had damage to lakeshore infrastructure, everything from breakwaters to piers and so forth. And, of course, anybody who jogs or walks along the lake knows that anytime we get one of these full length of the lake, north-northeast winds that pile up the lake water against the shoreline and produce waves, we've lost some of our jogging and biking paths along the lakefront. So it's an extraordinary situation.
There's nobody better, even delivering bad news.
Come on up for the rising. Come on up with your hands in mine.
When Armageddon hits, don't you want Tom Skilling to tell you?
Steve?
Right. Come on, it just makes you feel better. I promised this earlier this morning. I have three good news stories. Three good news stories. Are you ready?
That's why I've been sticking around.
Oh, that's the only reason?
Yeah.
Okay. Guy loses his job and without warning, and hundreds of people have decided to step in. Here's the story. Hassan Nejdevandi estimates about 10 seconds is how long his interactions lasted between him and the people he saw every morning as they walked in and out of the DuPont Circle metro station. It was enough to say good morning. They're earlier than normal. Maybe give them a high five for their punctuality. Not long enough to necessarily catch his name, ask whether he had a family, or learn what was up. But he was a smiling face, and the people of D.C. were always happy to see him. Now, if you pause and break down your life into the seconds and minutes of your day, you run across people like this all the time. There's people who you see regularly in your commute, in your life every day. Do you ever stop to say hi? Do you ever stop to check on them? Do you ever, you know, include them in your routine? Do you notice them? Well, the good news is the people here did. And when it was announced on Wednesday that the last copy of Express, the paper that he sold, would be handed out that Thursday, many of the commuters who passed Hassan every day realized they wouldn't see him anymore. Now, they could have done nothing. They could have said goodbye. They could have wished him well. But instead, he showed up for work that Thursday at 5:40. He didn't realize it was his last day until he was handed the paper to say the same. And the 65-year-old doesn't have a television at home. He hadn't seen the news that the Express was shutting down. Nobody had been able to reach him. And a woman said, "Don't you know you're out of work?" She said, "Look at the front." Normally, he reads the paper that he hands out. That morning, he had it on the front page with the words, "Hope you enjoy your stinking phones," above an image of a toppled Express box, meaning your newspaper is gone now. Hope you enjoy staring at your screen. Two sisters quickly started a GoFundMe page for Hassan, who at 65 years old would probably find it harder to find work than somebody half his age. They wanted to spread the word by poster board at the station with a sign that says, "With yesterday's end of the Daily Express, let's come together to thank Hassan for his years of brightening our commute. As of this Friday, more than $12,000 have been donated to him. They expect that total is probably double this morning."
Oh, that's fantastic.
And they estimate the vast majority of people couldn't tell you his name.
That is a great story.
Wait, I've got more.
Oh, good.
You ready?
Yeah.
A plumber fixed the boiler of a little old lady. Didn't charge her a dime. You know why? Because he could and she couldn't pay.
Of a little old lady's house?
Oh, you mean, yeah, not her personal boiler.
wanted to clarify.
The British town of Burnley, internet stardom after a receipt from one of his jobs went viral. It's totally free of charge. It was written, James Anderson, originally from Liverpool, being lauded for his zero bill sent to a 91-year-old woman who, by the way, also has leukemia.
Oh.
The bill was initially shared on Facebook by the woman's daughter. Anderson insists that she's going to have free plumbing for life, whatever she needs. Anderson, by the way, is the plumber. He just stepped up. He knew she couldn't pay. He also needed it, knew it needed to be fixed. He did it himself.
You know, the beautiful thing about that is it took probably, you know, a day for him to work and fix the boiler.
Probably less.
Yeah, but she is going to think of him every single day. Every morning she wakes up and everything's running right, and she's going to think of him and be so grateful.
And not doing it for the sake of being lauded.
Right.
He didn't ask for it to go viral. It just did. I got one more. You want one more?
Oh, please.
These are all good news stories, Dave. There's a world of bad news out there. How about some good news?
Yeah, I'm all for that.
There's a place in Riverdale, New York, called the Hebrew Home Senior Living Center. And you naturally see a lot of people there in their 90s using walkers and canes, maybe even wheelchairs. One of those people is not a resident. It's 92-year-old Jerry Schneider. Jerry volunteers every day to help everybody else. He's plenty old enough to be living there, but instead he goes there to work. He first visited there in 2007. His wife had been diagnosed with cancer. She went there for care. I would see her every day. I'd wheel her around, Schneider said. We used to see a lot of lonely people, and my wife said, you know, later on, you ought to volunteer. At first, Schneider didn't think he'd return to volunteer. He thought his wife would recover and come home, but she unfortunately passed away. Then, a few years later, Schneider's son reminded him about his wife's suggestion. So, 8 years ago, when he was a young man of 83, he went to volunteer. On the first day, he was handed three names of residents who needed to pick me up. The first was David, Oscar, and to this day, he still visits David's room first. He's still there. He comes usually every Tuesday. He makes everybody happy, so says everybody he works with. He's also somebody from their generation who can talk to them. If you ever talk to somebody, like, you know, your dad is 95 now, is that right?
Yeah, he'll be 96 in a few months.
And I remember my grandmother, who passed at 101, telling me she's glad to be alive, but everybody who understands her life and can share her memories is gone. So to have somebody who is that age, who you can talk to, who you can share memories with, who can talk about stuff, you know, I mean, you're 92. You're not going, did you hear the new Post Malone song? You know what I mean? So one person said, you're 92. You're a volunteer. Aren't you too old for that? He said, no, I'm not, and I'm here for you. He was born in 1932, and he met somebody about 6 years younger, and they were a little confused about the fact that the volunteer was older than he was. The point of all of this is you can step up at any age to do the right thing.
Yep.
And he stepped up to honor the legacy of his wife. She passed away after living in that home for a while. And because of her suggestion and her son's, their son's urging, he stepped up. And he found out it enhanced his life, too.
Love that.
So like God bless him.
Yeah, it's like our MVPP, Bob.
Yeah.
Who remembered his friend.
And you can always do more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's tons of people listening right now who step up every day.
Absolutely. A lot of great Chicago stories.
But there's also folks who could do a little bit more.
I could do more. Well, we all could do more.
We all could, right?
Yeah.
And if you can give away some money, that's great. If you can give away your time, that might even be better.
Yeah, sometimes time is worth even more than money.
But think of others. You know, spend a little time thinking of others each day, and your life's going to be enhanced in ways you don't even know.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Texter from 262 says, I like ABC's evening news. They always end with an uplifting story.
They do.
Another texter from the 847. I got a friend that goes to Lurie and rocks the babies in the NICU.
Aww.
Isn't that nice?
Very
rock that
nice.
Baby. Oh, update on young Isaac Shepherd.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who is now, I believe, Wednesday will be 2 months old.
Wow.
I think we're coming up on 2 months. I might be a week ahead. It might be 7 weeks. He's bench pressing about 320. He's driving his own car.
Wow.
I caught him smoking a cigar the other day. I told him that's what you're way too young for that. You're 7 weeks old.
Right.
He's a cool little man, and you know, just that's one of the greatest things that ever happened to me.
You guys going to like get together and watch the Bears game tonight? Well, maybe Sunday.
He said he doesn't like the way I scream and cry.
Yeah.
You know, for a 7-week-old to say that,
yes.
I mean, it's very mature. His big sister, Abigail, will turn 4 in December. She calls him Buddy.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah. And Abigail's, Isaac was a big boy. He was 10'2", I think. That's 10 pounds. Why am I looking at you?
I don't know. Dad? Like, I gave birth to him or
10 pounds, 2 ounces. And long. You know, he's 6 feet tall. No, he's tall for a little baby. And to see Abigail holding him looks like they're in the wrong spots. It sort of looks like she ought to be in his lap. But
he
it's
looks
great.
Like you. Mm-hmm. Isaac looks like you.
He'll grow out of that. Hey, do you think he should shave?
No.
Because I should. It's 8:56. All right, here's what's coming up. John Williams live in studio in a few minutes. Tell you about his latest show coming up with one of the dead presidents. And also on the way, I'll save this, but we got a couple other things coming up that I think you're going to like. How's that for a plug? Stick around for things you might like and plenty of free parking. At 8:56, the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be next.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
I didn't ask you guys how your weekends were. I mean, I told you a little bit about mine. It was busy. Dave, Northwestern football going to be okay?
They'll be okay. That was a tough day on Saturday, obviously. But they'll bounce back.
Bounce back win against Wisconsin would be huge. Wisconsin's playing as good as anybody in the country.
Number one defense in the country. The best running back in the country. It's going to be a very tough place to win. I mean, they took care of Michigan in a big way on Saturday.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Over the weekend decided to almost put herself in the hospital when she spilled hot water on herself.
That was last night, but over the weekend was nice.
You had a nice weekend.
Yeah, I went to Michigan.
Oh, did you see your friends or you just drove there, turned around and came back?
No. I went to go see my friends who have a house out there. And then we went to Virtue Cider and they were having a big apple festival. So we drank a lot of cider.
I think I've told you, I have an apple every day, not because I'm worried about doctors and stuff, but because I love that. This is the best apple time.
It is.
It's apple season.
Oh, it
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I ate one apple. There were like games you could play with apples. You could slingshot an apple across the
slingshot.
Field.
Slingshot? How dare you?
I know. But the cider was delicious. Virtue cider.
The Honeycrisp apples right now, gee, if you try them, they're as big as my head.
Honeycrisp is the best.
Yeah.
Although there's the Golden Ladies, there's all kinds.
There's also Evercrisp, which is different than the Honeycrisp, but very good. But they're tougher to find.
Mm.
Of course, Dave has a tougher to find apple.
On apples.
Yeah, that's all part of our new feature, Apple Corner. Super Joe, did you have a good weekend other than the Michigan game?
I did not. Thanks for asking.
All right, good. And Vivian, Vivian was out in California with her boyfriend, George.
She had the best weekend.
Do we have an announcement to make, Kenya?
No, we do not.
Nothing?
Actually, wait, I do. So his brother is expecting a baby.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. So he's
is there a
novel.
Woman in that story? Or is
yes,
there a medical
yes,
miracle?
Yes, you know. His brother and his sister-in-law.
Well, that's very nice.
Yeah, and they're expecting a baby.
Viv has a special power. She comes from a long line of kind of somewhat psychic women in her family. And when there are loved ones in her life that are pregnant, she dreams about when the actual birth is going to happen, and it happens a couple of days later.
I don't know anything about this.
Yeah, so usually, like the day before, like they would give birth. This has happened 3 times before. It's kind of crazy. So I would see the baby in my dream, like the day before they would actually give birth. And this has happened 3 times. And the babies look spot on. I don't even know how to.
Is this like a psychic thing, like where you have inside information, and or are you just calling due dates?
No, honestly, I don't know what it is. I always dream of the baby the day before a loved one of mine, gives birth.
So my greatest fear is that Viv has a dream about me giving birth, and I'll be like, on that show, I didn't know I was pregnant.
It's usually a call. It's like when I'm like, hey, I had a dream. Vivian had a dream today, everybody. She had a dream. We're going to have the baby today.
Yeah.
So it actually happened 3 times.
Well, I don't know how we market this skill, but it sounds like a reality show to me.
Wow. Okay. Maybe I'll pitch it somewhere.
Vivian, baby birthing psychic.
Yeah.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It's good to be king just for a while.
Thank you, Super Joe.
To be
I got to play this on my show more often. Hi, everybody. John
Are
Williams.
You still talking to me?
Excuse me.
Because you're in the Walk of Fame now.
I hear this, and I automatically start to do my shtick. Hi, Steve Cochran.
Apparently, he's not talking to me.
I love that. I love how he just, like, launched right into his show.
Well, you'll see this now. The hardest thing to do for two talk show hosts is talk to each other because it's like an interview standoff.
Yeah.
No, I'll ask you a question.
Lobbying statements and questions, nobody listening or answering.
Yeah. First off, I've congratulated you before. Congratulations again on
Thank
the walk
Thank you, my friend. Yeah. It was so nice to see you. It was so nice to see your show, all of you. It was so nice to see Ro and the gang at that event a couple Fridays ago.
Did you think when I finally make the Walk of Fame, I'm going to be outshined by Marlene Wells?
Well, if you're going to be outshined by somebody around here, Marlene's the one.
Marlene is our promotions guru who never misses a live event, sets them all up. And apparently on the day she went into the Walk of Fame, 52 years after she started working here and still works here, she was still working.
She was insisting on working the event. And Marlene's the sort of tough love person where if you're not doing it right, and right is Marlene's way, then you will be informed and corrected.
Yes.
and that's what she was doing at even this event. Bertrand kept saying, would you just sit down?
What was she telling you? What were you doing?
What was I? Well, if wrong. During a commercial break, I started to wander off, go visit with my family. You've got 3 minutes. You need to be in that seat. John.
So congratulations to her and Andrea and the 10-pin tattler and you. Are your sons old enough now to be impressed?
I was so glad that one couldn't make it and the other one could. And I was so glad that Grant was there. And I completely understood that Griffin couldn't be there. I work with Griffin on Saturdays anyway. But it was really nice to... You know, it's funny, Steve, because... And someday you'll know this. Mm-hmm. But...
My kids are older than your kids.
Yeah, so you know everything I'm about to say. But I didn't process it until I saw Brenda and... Grant and his wife Nikki there, and then I went, oh, now I'm really feeling this.
Yeah.
You know, just looking in their eyes.
Did you get emotional?
I did when I saw Brenda get emotional.
Yeah.
Boomeranged.
Yeah, sure, of course. It's a very nice thing. And for someone who grew up as the kid that always wanted to work here, congratulations.
It was. I know. So many people put it that way. And again, it's kind of lost on me because time. But yeah, that's a dream come true.
Why was that always your dream? What about this station made you dream of working here?
Yeah, it just seems so fun. And it seemed, and to be honest with you, it seems so easy, which it's not. But
yeah, you find that out, don't you?
Oh, you do. But and anybody does that sits in any of these chairs for 10 minutes, and you hear it sometimes. But you'd listen to Spike or Wally or Roy or Kathy or any of these people, that Bill Berg, whatever, and you'd go, oh, that looks like so much fun. You just sit there and talk, and it's so easy, and you're so plugged into Chicago. Wouldn't that be cool someday?
Wouldn't it funny, though, that you grew up thinking it's so easy, and now nothing's quite as offensive if somebody goes, so you just sit there and talk.
But you're only out a couple hours, right, so what do you do the rest
of the
day?
Tough day. Well, congratulations.
I deserve that, by the way. I mean, because you're on 4 hours. I'm on two
hours. Well, you do your Saturday show. Give yourself credit. I do.
Now, are you as inquisitive and energetic as you are on radio? Like, when you're home with the family, are you like... You know, digging deep. You're like...
Thinking big thoughts.
Why did you do that today?
I try and turn it down a little bit. But, you know, you are what you are, right?
Maureen always gives me a hard time because I interview everyone. Like, you know, I don't want to talk about me. I really don't.
Yeah.
That may surprise some of you. But, you know, if you're at parties or barbecues or whatever, or just anywhere.
Yeah, no kidding.
I jump right into the interview.
Well, it's easier sometimes, too.
Right. John and I are terribly socially awkward.
I hear that that's what happens. Socially awkward people tend to go into show business.
Well, you've known me for a while now. You know that's true.
Well played.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so you got another show coming up.
Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt's in town. We're going to visit with him on stage at Elgin Community College's Blizzard Theater. It's a lovely theater.
What's it called, the Blizzard?
I know, isn't that weird? I don't like the name of that. It's either... a snack or it's bad weather.
I was thinking about Dairy Queen's Blizzard.
I know. I'm like, no, it's the Grand Theater of the Stage.
The Blizzard Theater.
The Blizzard
Theater. How big is it?
It's about 700, so it's just about right for us.
That's a big room.
Yeah, it is. And if it was any bigger, then, you know, you lose the intimacy of believing that that's...
Well, speaking of that, you need to explain to G this whole concept, because when I said... I tried to explain this to her earlier, and she looked at me like you had lost your mind.
Yeah.
I looked at him quizzically because, forgive me, I am new here, and I don't know about this, you talking to dead presidents on stage. I was like, wasn't Dead Presidents a movie?
it was a band.
Once upon a time, there was a scholar who came to town, and they said, hey, do you want to interview him? He knows about presidents. And I said, oh, all right. And then he said, by the way, I do Thomas Jefferson on stage. We took a commercial break, and I looked back at the phone lines. After the break, the lines were lit up.
Yeah.
People were calling and going, well, what about the Second Amendment? Well, what about you own slaves? Well, blah, blah, blah. Well, hokey smokes. So this guy is brilliant as Jefferson. When Ken Burns did his documentary about Jefferson, he was the lead interview. Jefferson wrote thousands of letters. This guy memorized them. He's brilliant. And he walks onto stage in costume.
Brilliant slash crazy.
Kind of. It's weird because you got to be an actor.
Yeah.
You've also got to be like the smartest person in the world on that person. And then he does Teddy Roosevelt, too. And Roosevelt's the exact opposite, where Jefferson's retiring and brilliant and thoughtful. Roosevelt was brilliant, but he was bombastic.
Shoot from the hip.
Totally. I mean, he was... I don't mean this as disparagingly as it sounds, but what if Donald Trump were a scholar, you know, and good at heart? Maybe you think he is, hooray. But I mean, just saying, if he painted a broad brush of affection for the entire country, that's Teddy Roosevelt. And so this guy comes onto stage dressed like Roosevelt. And I come on, and he about pushes me aside and says, and then I interview him.
There's
and,
no rapping.
No, but
it's
the
not like Hamilton. There's no rapping. No.
Well, they've tried
okay.
The fascinating thing to me is this guy is as method as Daniel Day-Lewis. When he gets into character, he answers questions, and the questions aren't predetermined.
It's in conversation.
Answers questions off the cuff,
right?
Like he is.
Yeah, shoot from
there. Teddy Roosevelt.
And then we take a break, and then, like, not intermission, but then we turn up the house lights, and people ask questions.
Wow.
And they'll say.
You got a favorite that's come up over the many shows you've done with him?
The questions that people ask when they ask about his daughter, Alice, who, you know, if you know anything about Roosevelt, and I didn't until I started to do this, but she was unwieldy. She, you know, he said, you cannot smoke in the White House.
So she smoked in the White House.
So she smoked on the roof.
I like that.
She went on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was just like, he said, I can control our Navy. I can't control Alice. Stuff like that. And Roosevelt hated Jefferson, by the way. So it's kind of a fun dichotomy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
This guy, yeah. But I'm telling you that if WGN Radio is, what do we say, 24/7 Chicago stories told here.
Sure, yeah.
This is the best storytelling president we've ever had. Charging up San Juan Hill, being a cowboy in the West, losing his mother and his wife on the same day.
Well, how
in the
about
same
being
house.
Shot at a speech and finishing the speech?
Guy came up, pointed a gun, blasted him in the chest. It went through his.
He had a book or something, right?
Yeah, his speech was folded over like a book, and then his spectacles case. The bullet lodged in his chest, and he goes, I think I can work this. So
now that's a man. Keep on working.
That's
he's
exactly
bring
right.
home
he's,
the bacon.
He was bleeding, right?
Yeah, he's totally bleeding, and he's holding up his speech going, look, I've been assassinated. And then he gives a 70-minute speech in Milwaukee. I believe it was in Milwaukee.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
So
all
now
right.
the actor plays both Roosevelt and Jefferson, you
on
said.
Separate nights.
On separate nights. Okay, so this he's not going back and forth on the same
no,
night.
Same no, same night his head would explode.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Mine would.
But the wardrobe is very specific, too, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, the costumes, if you will, are authentic. The clothes are whatever Jefferson... literally, here's how committed he is to his craft. When he does Jefferson back in the day, our founding fathers, they didn't have left foot, right foot shoes.
Oh.
Is that right?
They made him straight, and then you wore him long enough, and the leather conformed to your foot.
Wow.
So it's kind of painful. That's the way he buys his shoes for the Jefferson show.
Wow.
Really method.
So you have to have them customed?
Yeah, he has his clothes are custom made, the leather and whatever.
Is this actor married? Like, what's he like at home? Like, does his wife have to deal with this?
Yeah, he's divorced naturally.
That's because he claimed he was John Adams and he called his wife Abigail.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
Yeah. Raw,
yeah, so he's a weird. It's a weird way to make a living, isn't it? And he says so. He normally does one person shows. He'll travel the country doing one-person shows. Universities, international bankers associations want Roosevelt.
But he loves you.
He and I work together whenever he's in Chicago.
But he doesn't do that. I mean, John asks great questions and all that, and you play off him. There's a rhythm to it, though.
We
not
have
to get
chemistry.
Too deep.
No.
There's a rhythm to it that's necessary as well for the sake of entertaining the audience.
kind of like your radio show. You know, yeah, how the players, you know, and listen, I don't know the answers. I know the questions, right? Any of us. And so I know, I'm thinking in my head, well, what are some issues today going on right now that Roosevelt has something to say about? Or just let him talk about Alice. You know, you can go either way.
Does he talk about losing to Taft after he made Taft who Taft was?
Yes. Look at you. Yeah, and it, yeah, he resented it. So then he said, okay, fine, I'll go off on a safari and just leave this guy be, mm-hmm, because I'm ticked and I'm upset anyway. So he leaves the country for a while and then comes back and really missed the game. He wanted a third term.
Right.
You know, he ran as on the Bull Moose Party to try and run again.
Honestly, if we had a Bull Moose ticket right now, wouldn't you vote for the candidate?
Yes.
I'd vote for a bull or a moose.
A squirrel.
Right.
Anything.
Right, yeah.
This is a guy who, he's on stage and you go, okay, he's kind of cuckoo bananas, but oh, I could vote for this.
Yeah.
I asked him the other day, that's weird, I asked him, who today would you most be like, right? Mm-hmm. Is it Donald Trump or is it some other, he said, just probably your John McCain.
Oh.
Wow.
Think about that. I mean, stubborn, headstrong, warrior.
Who wouldn't take McCain back right now?
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah. But, you know, McCain was a soldier, and we loved him for that. And Roosevelt insisted on getting into the war and insisted on being in the combat. And he's in his, like, 40s.
And that was when they were riding horses and had pistols.
He was on the cavalry and rode a horse through the fire, sort of like that scene with Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
In
Dancing with Chickens.
Wolves, yeah.
How do we get tickets?
So the show is going to be October 12th, 10:30 in the morning at Elgin Community College's Blizzard Theater.
Saturday morning.
Oh, so it's a morning show.
10:30 a.m.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
It works well that way.
I know. That's a thing. Like, if this frightens you, you're out by noon. You've got the half a day.
Well, but also, I think because it feels like the coolest college class you've ever been to, it works at that hour.
That's why I'm such an advocate of this. Like, if it was just an entertainment show, fine. Mm-hmm. Go or don't go. This is the sort of thing I think, like, it's like a civics lesson that right. will stay with you for the rest of your life. You really will feel good about it, and you'll have a better understanding of the presidency, America, a little history, and you'll love this guy. So go to WGNradio.com/Teddy. It's not a lingerie store, Steve. And all the ticket information is there.
We have new owners, but we're not opening up a lingerie store.
Not yet. Yeah. WGNradio.com/Teddy.
All right. What are you doing today? You want to plug your own show? Still being determined at this hour?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Can I ask one question about Teddy Roosevelt?
Of course, yeah.
Are you going to ask him about how he saved the game of football?
Yeah, what a great question. I'm glad you know that, too. I mean, he essentially created the NCAA and said we've got to have helmets, right, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, basically, he said they have to take the violence out of the game, which, granted, it's still a work in progress.
But, like, 17 people had died playing college football the year before. He said, right. Okay, we've got to do so. He called the president of Harvard and Yale and said, what are we going to do about this? And they changed the game. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was like a crazy workout nut, too, right? Like, he had weights in the White House.
He was a sickly child, so his father said, you've got to improve your body. So he got him a, you know, what was the equivalent then of a weight kit, and he started to exercise so much that when he was president of the United States, he said, I've got to stay physical. So he had brought in a sumo wrestler. And he's sumo wrestling with this guy. There was a Navy midshipman, and he said, let's box. And he goes, oh, I can't hit the president of the United States. He goes, no, come on, hit me, man, hit me. And he's sparring with this guy, and the guy popped him in the eye, detached his retina. He went blind in one eye. So Roosevelt, for the rest of his life, could only see out of one eye.
And never complained, I'm sure.
Oh, he didn't even tell the guy because he thought, oh, he'll be heartbroken if I
or
tell him.
Or he'll think he really beat me.
Yeah, maybe.
That's the other side of it,
that
right?
would be Roosevelt's take. Yeah.
All right, one more time on where to get tickets.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. WGNradio.com/Teddy. I was with some friends over the weekend, and one of them, she goes, oh, my dad's a history buff. Yeah, if you know anybody that's into history at all. And if you don't know somebody, I promise you, your money back. Actually, we're not going to give you your money back.
I was like...
Yeah. Yep. I don't know what the rules are.
Yeah, but
about
you don't ever have people that go, I want my money back. Everybody loves it.
No, we get a lot of people to come a second time.
Yeah, okay.
Well, there you go.
Good to see you.
Thanks
John
for
Williams.
The time, guys.
You bet. John Williams this afternoon at 1. just ahead of the RealCon experience. It's 9:27, and we'll come back with the headlines next. Joe played a band called Trampled for Turtles. Turtles for Trampling. What is it called?
Trampled by Turtles.
Trampled by Turtles.
Turtles for Trampling.
Heroes in a half shell. Turtle power.
Jeez. Yeah. Come on down the mountain. Come on.
Oh, Lisa, stop pining for your saxophone. I got you another instrument.
What is jug?
Have yourself some victuals. I'll have some, too.
The girl that
Let's go me. Kill a squirrel. We'll make us some stew.
Lisa, never, ever stop in the middle of a hoedown.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Ah, memories. All of us lonely. Show 1456. Once again, Mike Madigan, J.B. Pritzker, you're invited on this show. Mayor Lightfoot, you're invited on this show. None of them have shown up at this point.
Maybe we need to send them a formal invitation.
I got their formal invitation right here.
See, now that's exactly the kind of attitude that's going to keep them from not coming on the show.
There is a entitlement to politicians in Chicago and in Illinois that doesn't really exist in a lot of places in the country. If you have an opportunity to talk to... You know, it's funny about that. That's the Mike Madigan crickets. But the timing was perfect for Joe to get me to shut up.
It sounded like the crickets were for you.
Yeah, it really did. The entitlement being that you're elected, you don't have to talk to your voting public.
Especially when almost every politician runs, regardless of what political party, on a platform of transparency.
Yeah, so Mr. Pritzker, you've got certainly a lot of things that you could talk about that are pro. And I am a very fair person. Just ask me.
You are fair. You really are. And, I mean, granted, sometimes you go on a rant, but you are a very fair person.
I just want the best for people, not for politicians, for people. And Mayor Lightfoot, ask Mayor Emanuel. Rahm Emanuel came on the show more than he went home. He was here more than any place.
Really?
Yeah.
How did his wife feel about that?
She thanked me. Yeah, she thanked me.
And she sent us smoothies.
She did.
Wow. Yeah.
The Amy Emanuel smoothie. It was good.
Yeah.
Even a kale in it, and I drank it.
I know. Stunning.
25th anniversary of Friends is on. They're talking about it all the time now.
Well, you know what? That was another thing that was a disappointment from last night's Emmys. People thought that they were going to be all there together to present an award at the Emmys.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And obviously they were not.
They were not.
Do you know what the original title of Friends was going to be?
What?
I'm not making this up. Insomnia Cafe.
Wow.
Not so good.
Well, you know what, though? If someone was going to pitch you a show just called Friends, wouldn't you say, like, oh, that's too simple? Like, if you were a big TV exec, you'd be like, that's not enough of a hook. It's not interesting enough. I need something a little more sassy.
They liked Six of One. Too confusing. Across the Hall would have made sense.
Because
they had apartments across the hall. Friends Like Us, they finally just shortened it, I should say. To be friends.
There was a magical time in my life, in my 20s, when I lived very close to three of my best friends, and it was fantastic. But then everybody grows up, gets jobs,
gets
married, has kids, and then you never see them again.
Did you know Kathy Griffin and friend of the show Jane Lynch? Well, Kathy's family listens, and Kathy used to be a friend of the show, just haven't talked to her in a long time. But Kathy Griffin and Jane Lynch both auditioned for Phoebe first.
I could totally see either of them in that role, honestly. Yeah.
John Favreau, this is skinny John Favreau, and John Cryer were both considered for Chandler.
Oh.
And Chandler almost didn't get the gig, Matthew Perry, the Chandler gig. During the 1994 pilot season, he committed to a pilot for a show called LAX 2194.
That's too many numbers.
The show would have been about baggage handlers at LAX who sorted aliens' luggage.
Aliens' luggage.
And he took Friends over that.
Thank God he did.
And Jon Favreau was... a boyfriend at some point in the series.
Yes, he was. Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah, he was a super rich guy, millionaire boyfriend. The producers wanted Courtney Cox originally to play Rachel. She was the most famous one of the bunch.
Oh.
She was coming off what was the Jim Carrey animal movie? Remember he did two of them?
Oh, he was like a pet detective or something.
Yeah, that's Ace Ventura. She was in one of the Ace Venturas. Mm. So she was kind of famous at that point.
A classic. One of the best of all time.
And a little academic at times, a little nerdy.
Yeah, a little dark.
The role of Ross was written for David Schwimmer. They love David Schwimmer.
Well, he looks like Ross. I mean, he looked just like his character. I mean, it probably drives him nuts, but I mean...
Wait a minute. What do you mean he looks like Ross?
I mean, I just mean he looks like... Well, I mean, he looks like the character he played.
Well, sorry. He is the character he played.
I know, but I'm just saying no one else could have done it. That's what I'm saying.
Because that's what you saw him doing.
I know.
And you liked him.
But see, the other characters I feel like
that's
I could
like
maybe
saying
see...
Fred Flintstone looked like Fred Flintstone.
I know, but I feel like maybe I could have seen Jane Lynch play Phoebe. Do you
oh,
know what
I
I'm
see.
Saying? But
so you
I don't...
can't picture anyone else's role.
Yeah. Right.
Unless we offered up a name of someone who would have played them.
How about Eric McCormick from Will and Grace?
No.
No? Mm-mm. No. It could have been. It's the only one I can think of off the top of my head.
Because he's Will on Will
like,
and Grace.
Like David Schwimmer. The opening credits were not shot in New York. Remember the couch?
Yes.
The couch supposedly in Central Park? There's a fountain in the background. I don't know where it was supposed to be. Anyway, that couch is in Chicago right now.
Oh, is it touring with
yeah, it's
this
touring.
Pop-up?
Yeah.
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 I hope it's had a good cleaning.
David Schwimmer, by the way, got the cast a whole bunch of money because when he was up for contract negotiation, they were going to pay him more than everybody else. Mm-hmm. And he said, we're all negotiating together.
No, that's what you do for Dave and me.
Mm. Okay. Gee, you haven't been here very long, have you?
I believe everybody should get exactly what they're able to get.
That's right.
Lisa Kudrow, of course, came up with her own songs. Smelly Cat being the big one. And it turns out she, in fact, did not know how to play guitar. So that was not an act.
Are you kidding?
When she just strummed and she goes, smelly cat, smelly cat. Yeah, she didn't know how to play.
Her cat needed a bath.
Yeah, because her cat was smelly. And many people, including Lisa Kudrow, thought Chandler was gay.
Huh.
Until they finally wrote the storyline. They thought at some point the writers were going to have Chandler come out.
Oh. I like that he was... neurotic and had those.
I think one of the greatest characters on that show was his nasally big time girlfriend Janice with the laugh. You don't remember Janice?
Oh yeah.
I wasn't a religious watcher of Friends.
She came back to haunt them. Yeah. And when Rachel was in the hospital having a baby, Janice rolled in to have a baby as well.
Mm.
Which was pretty smart and pretty funny. The writers on the show were great.
Now, who had the baby? The ex-wife then was a lesbian.
That was Ross's,
and then
Ross's.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, well, the first few years they were trying to figure out what the show was. Ross could not have been more annoying in the first few years. Just so whiny. Phoebe Buffay's twin sister, Ursula. Remember she played two characters?
Oh, yes, that I do remember.
Ursula was a waitress on Mad About You.
Hmm.
How about that? The apartment number switched during the series. Beginning of the series, Monica's door was number 5. The producers later realized it didn't make sense because Monica lived on a higher floor, so they changed the apartment number to 20. Chandler's apartment went from 4 to 19. I can tell you, I watched every episode of Friends. Nah, that's one I never noticed. Never saw it.
You have to be watching really closely mm-hmm. to notice that.
I didn't think that you would be like a Friends guy.
Oh, I love Friends.
I know.
Well, I love great writing.
Yeah, I could see you. Did you watch every episode of Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the Friends thing, technically, I was just a skosh past that generation
mm-hmm.
because Friends debuted in 94 and I was 33. So I was a touch old for Friends because the Friends were all supposed to be in their early 20s.
Yeah, but me too.
They were a lot older than their early
20s. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Hmm.
Lisa Kudrow's pregnancy in real life was written into the show, but Courtney Cox's was not. And they had a lot of awkward shots where Courtney Cox was like behind the bar kitchen area a lot or behind the couch. The Magna Doodle toy became a job for the crew to keep it updated. Over the years, crew members were responsible for drawing in a Magna Doodle on Joey's door. You ever have a Magna Doodle? My kids love Magna Doodle.
I would have loved that job. Like, your responsibility is just to update the Magna
Doodle. Draw a child's toy. And finally, Matt LeBlanc loved the Magna Doodle. And when the series ended, he stole it. He took it, and it actually showed up on Joey. Remember, he had a spinoff for a little mm-hmm. bit? So, Friends fun facts. A few we didn't get to, but, you know, the week's just getting started.
You just really went down the Friends rabbit hole.
As far as I know, I'm going to be here all week. I've got time. Yeah, I'm totally locked in now. You're right, I did go down the rabbit hole. I didn't know this. Bruce Willis appeared on the show for free after he lost a bet to Matthew Perry. He was a big star.
Wow.
The two are making a movie, The Whole Nine Yards. Remember that? Matthew Perry plays a dentist and Bruce Willis is a hitman?
I do remember that.
Perry believed the film would be number one in the box office its opening weekend. Bruce Willis didn't think so. February 2000, the film was number one. Willis lost the bet. His bet that he lost was that he'd do Friends for free. He was the dad of Ross's young girlfriend and became Rachel's love interest. His earnings were donated to charity. He was good on the show. There are a couple of storylines that were stupid. Like, did you ever buy Tom Selleck as Monica's boyfriend?
No. That was very confusing. That's Magnum P.I. What are you doing?
Well, also, he's 30 years older.
Well, yeah, but it was just confusing. I was like, Eddie, you need to be going to the helicopter in Hawaii.
Wasn't he your dad's best friend?
Yeah, that's where, you know, your dad is not going to be cool with that.
No.
Yeah. A lot of future stars made their way through Friends. Yeah, I don't remember. Is it Ellen Pompeo or Eileen Pompeo? Ellen, I guess.
Ellen.
Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Robinson from The Office. Cole Sprouse. A bunch of girlfriends became famous, including one of the members of Sex and the City's cast. Gunther was an actual... tell me the girlfriend's names.
Carrie, Samantha, Miranda...
The brunette, long hair.
Oh, Charlotte.
Charlotte, okay. Charlotte was on...
Oh, yay.
Yeah, she was a girlfriend. Yeah. And this may be one of my favorites. Gunther's bleached hair was accidental. A friend wanted to be a hairdresser and wanted to practice bleaching someone's hair and bleach Gunther's hair. The producer saw it and liked it. He also was working as a barista when he got cast in the show as a coffee guy.
Have you ever let anyone who's like practicing or in beauty school or becoming a stylist work on your hair for free?
Not stylist, but that is how I lost my appendix. Yeah.
I have had a lot of people. I let them work on my hair for free.
For real?
Yeah.
You have lovely hair.
Well, I know, because I got a lot of hair, so it's like if it goes wrong, what's the worst that could happen? I could just chop it off.
Are you offering it now to listeners if they have children or people in their lives who are going through beauty school?
Well, I guess we could make this a thing.
Let's give away some of her hair. Seventh caller now gets free G hair. Bill and Wendy are here. We actually have like a full minute to say hi to you guys today.
Hi, Steve.
How's it going?
Getting a lot of texts from people who want G's hair. So I know you were kidding, but a lot of people went in on this.
Oh, that was already a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not
remember. Remember G, your hair smells terrific?
It was based on G.
Yeah.
It did smell terrific.
Oh,
it
smells so nice.
I got to tell you, in this Me Too generation, do not sniff a coworker's
do
head.
Do not stiff.
Or sniff. Either one.
One is worse than the other, Steve.
One is a violation.
You know that's true.
What do you guys do today?
What aren't we? Man, we are jam-packed.
Remember when Svengoolie and Dennis McKinnon wouldn't work together? We're putting an end to that today on our show.
Legendary feud.
Svengoolie and Silky D. Wow. Together again.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Wasn't that your rap name, Silky D?
Silky B.
Oh, Silky B.
It was Silky B.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. And just generally cursing on the internet show you guys do at noon?
Yes. 1 hour of swearing with
do
Wendy
you know,
and me at the bonus
I actually
hour.
Could do it, and you know,
right.
I don't.
Mm-hmm. And you've admonished me more than once.
Yes.
I've come close to doing it as, you know, as a kiddish prank, and Wendy said, please do not.
I limit all of my cursing to the car. When I'm alone in the car, I just curse like I say. I get it all out.
Haven't you been trained, though, when you have a microphone in front of your
sir,
face, you don't swear?
You hear how I talk. It's amazing.
What's
I don't drop
your favorite? Don't
here.
Say the word, of course, but what letter does your favorite swear word start with?
F followed by the word stick.
No, mine starts with... Mine is the M one. The M-F.
Oh,
I like that one.
Really, that's hardcore. What are you, a gang member?
I don't know. It's just like, it's great. Yeah,
but isn't the shortened version of that one more fun?
You almost you said that on the stream.
Yeah, I came close to saying it. I think it's a funny word.
It's a great excuse.
You guys doing a text question? Send in your favorite curse words today?
Yes.
Maybe.
And then you can't answer any of them? You can't do any of them on there?
847.
See you tomorrow.